Our scripture reading is from the revelation given to St. John, the 7th chapter. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A friend told me that he was at a graduation party years ago, and an elderly grandfather was speaking to his grandson who had just graduated from high school, and he said, "So what do you think you're going to do next?" And the young man said, "Go to college." He said, "Well, after that, then what?" "Well, I plan to get a job." "And after that?" "Well, I suppose I'll get married." "Okay, and then what do you think you're going to do?" "I'll probably have a family." "Well, what about after that?" "I don't know." The grandson was getting a little irritated. "I don't know. I guess have a career and get a house and so on." "And what about after that?" "I don't know. I guess I'm going to get older and finally retire." "Okay, and then what?" "Well, I guess I'm going to die someday." And the grandpa said, "Okay, and then what?" Ecclesiastes chapter 1, listen to what God says to us. "What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after." Well, that's a pretty cheerful view of life. Maybe kind of depressing sometimes to think about what happens to this world and to our bodies and to our lives. Most of us here can't tell us, couldn't say what our great-great-grandparents even did or what they accomplished in their life. Just think how quickly, in just a matter of 3 to 4 generations, what gets done in this world just gets lost and kind of fades away. To have any thought or hope that somehow we're going to have some great legacy in this world and in the history of this world, we're just kidding ourselves. And yet what's interesting is one of the greatest questions that individuals deal with, and oftentimes mostly those who are in the age of their college years, one of the biggest questions they often ask themselves is this: how can I contribute to make this world a better place? What can I do with my life to help make this world a better place? The Chicago Commodities Exchange, at least years ago, had the potential to make a lot of young people very wealthy very quickly. Sometimes people were millionaires by the age of 30. And those who have worked there have observed that oftentimes in the first 5 years of this great outpouring of prosperity that these young people can experience, in the first 5 years they often find themselves going out and buying the hottest sports cars and the really nice boats and taking big lavish vacations and so on. But that starts to wear off after a while, and they start to have a sense in themselves that their life is kind of empty and meaningless. And so after about 5 years, when they're probably in their mid-30s or so, many of these young people start volunteering for various organizations to work with teenagers and underprivileged children and so on. It's interesting how inside of us there is this drive to be connected to something that has meaning, that something that has purpose in this life and in this world that's just fading away. Well, look at the text before us. St. John, by the divine revelation given to him by the Holy Spirit, is permitted to have a glimpse of what eternity is like and what heaven is like. Those standing around the throne of Christ. Listen to this description again. "I saw a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb." So How did all of these people get there? And how do I make sure to get there? Well, you can hear it right in the song, the confession that they are singing before the Lamb's throne. Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. Salvation, that means getting to heaven, belongs to our God. God is the one that takes care of salvation. He is the one alone who can do it, every aspect of it. He's the one that has chosen to do it through the very Lamb, Christ himself, who had to be sacrificed on the altar of the cross to have his blood be shed to make atonement for every one of our sins, no matter what they are, that make you fearful of judgment day. Every one of those sins has been canceled before God because of the blood of the Lamb. And now through his very word and sacraments, through baptism, through the Lord's Supper, through the public ministry, God now goes into the world and gathers his elect who will be around that throne someday. But not only has God, through his word and sacraments, come and touched your life to make you part of Christ's kingdom, to make you one of those that will be in that great number someday, but he also uses these very human beings, sinful mortal people who now have been touched by his grace. He uses them and employs them in the service of his kingdom to help swell the number in heaven. God works through individuals and their lives to bring other people to the saving knowledge of Christ so they can join in eternity in all of its bliss in heaven. And so Christ, by making you part of this multitude through faith in him, not only comes into your life and grabs your heart and says, you belong to me, and you're coming to heaven someday, but along with that, he now extends to you a particular commission, a mission for your life, and puts value and purpose into your life much higher than you could ever come up with here in this world. He says to you personally, go and make disciples, fellow believers, of all nations. Go and do this special work. And nothing in the world can give us a higher sense of meaning and purpose and value to our mortal lives than to be involved in this work. I have a friend who's a physician that works with children, has helped many children, probably saved lives by the medical care he's provided, has also help change young people's lives and so on. And yet, he's also been involved in mission work through the church. At one point, going over to foreign countries to teach little children about Christ as their Savior. On one of those trips, he told me that the interpreter that the church had contracted to use to translate the language, who she herself was not a believer in Christ, simply by their instruction through her, she came to faith through that very same powerful word of God and was brought to the love of her Savior. And if you talk to him today and ask him about all the important things that he's done with children and their health and so on, he'd say that nothing can compare to the fun and the meaning of being connected to helping that one young lady get to heaven. There are a lot of things you can do with your life as you go forward, tremendous things. It's awesome to think of the potential God has placed right here in this sanctuary and in these seats, of the things in the future years ahead, in the decades to come, that you may do here in this world. But we must also remember that everything that is done in this world stays here and dies and goes into the ground and rots and will be corrupted. So God invites you also to be a part of a bigger mission and have a bigger value and purpose beyond just the things of this world. So God would have you look at your life from a double purpose. Whatever your future vocation may be that you're striving toward right now through your major. If you plan to teach children, fantastic. We need great teachers. But also be involved in some way with the education that brings people to salvation. You may someday be involved in the sciences or in medicine to help people with the health of their bodies. Well, why not also be involved with eternal health to have people enjoy heaven where they will never have sickness again or death? It may be counseling. It may be business that you go into, the study of languages, And those are fantastic vocations for this world. You can help people in a lot of ways. But how can you also be involved in using those gifts in the Lord's service forever? The music, the arts, even just being a parent. May God continue to bestow His grace upon us, that we someday may be in that wonderful throng in heaven for the saving benefits that we enjoy now and will see in their fullness someday. But may He also in this life continue to use us to show His riches to others in this world who do not know that Savior. Amen.